You show up to your AME's office. You've got your paperwork, you haven't had coffee yet because you're not sure if that matters. And somewhere in the back of your mind, you're wondering whether that new prescription is going to hold up under scrutiny. Then the nurse points to the eye chart, and suddenly you're doing something you haven't done since the third grade. Reading letters off a wall, and somehow it feels harder than it should. I'm Tower. This is ADIS on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about the vision portion of your Federal Aviation Administration medical exam. Because according to AOPA, one simple change can dramatically improve how you perform, and most pilots have no idea it exists. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. If you're a pilot, you know what it means to earn something. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, the discipline, the pride behind every step in this journey. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story worth carrying. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Now, the FAA medical, let's talk about what actually happens when you sit down in that chair. Because a lot of pilots treat this exam like it's either going to be fine or it's going to be a disaster, and they don't spend much time thinking about the difference. That's a mistake. The vision test isn't just about whether you can read a Snellen chart. There are multiple components, and each one has specific standards depending on what class of medical you're going for. Third class, second class, first class. They each carry different requirements. If you don't know what those requirements are before you walk in, you're already behind. Here's what you need to know. For a third class medical, which covers private pilots and recreational operations, the FAA requires distance vision of 20 over 40 or better in each eye, with or without correction. Near vision sufficient to read standard newspaper print at a normal reading distance, and color vision adequate to distinguish the aviation signal colors, red, green, and white. For a second class add-on instrument privileges and commercial operations, the standard tightens. Distance vision needs to be 20 over 20 or better in each eye with or without correction. Near vision is measured more precisely on a standardized chart. First class is the most demanding. And if you're holding a first class or working toward one for Part 121 operations, you already know that the standards are tight. Distance vision 20 over 20 in each eye separately. Near vision at a standard testing distance. And if you're 40 or older, you also get tested on intermediate vision, which is the range roughly equivalent to reading an instrument panel. That one catches some people off guard. So why do pilots fail vision tests they should be able to pass? And why is there a simple change that most people aren't making? The answer isn't usually about vision capability. It's about test conditions. And this is where it gets interesting. Your eyes are not static. They perform differently depending on a handful of factors that are entirely within your control going into that exam. Sleep is one of them. Hydration is another. And the third one, the one AOPA highlights, the one that genuinely surprises people, is simpler than either of those. Blinking. Before you read a line on the eye chart, blink deliberately. Two or three times, let your tear film redistribute evenly across the cornea. That thin layer of moisture is part of your optical system. It literally refracts light before it hits your lens. When that layer is disrupted, patchy, or uneven, the sharpness of everything you see drops. It's not dramatic under normal circumstances, but on a vision test where the difference between passing and failing can be a single line on a chart, uneven tear distribution matters. Most pilots either stare intently at the chart, trying to focus harder, or they rush through the letters trying to get it done. Both of those behaviors dry the eye surface. The harder you stare, the less you blink, and the less you blink, the worse the optical quality of what you're seeing. The fix is exactly what it sounds like. Blink before you read, not during, because that'll just interrupt your focus before. Let your eyes reset, then read the line. It sounds almost too simple to be real, and yet AOPA's reporting on this makes clear that it can be the difference between a clean pass and a marginal read. This matters especially for older pilots, and I say that not to be blunt, but because presbyopia, the gradual stiffening of the lens as we age, makes near vision testing more challenging. Add dry eyes to that, which also becomes more common with age, and you've got a compounding problem that a single behavioral change can significantly mitigate. Now let's talk about corrective lenses, because this is an area where pilots make mistakes that create problems they didn't need to have. If you wear glasses or contacts for distance vision, bring them to your medical, wear them. Your medical certificate will carry a limitation reading must wear corrective lenses if you need them to meet the standard, and that's not something to be embarrassed about. It's a condition that millions of pilots operate under without issue, but the mistake some pilots make is thinking that because they want to avoid that limitation, they'll try to pass without the correction. If your uncorrected vision is borderline, you're gambling on a chart reading when you should just be showing up prepared. On the other side, don't wear corrective lenses that overcorrect. If your contact lens prescription is more aggressive than you actually need, your near vision might suffer even as your distance vision improves. Near vision testing is done at a fixed distance, and overcorrection for distance can blur the near chart. If you've recently changed prescriptions, it's worth understanding what that change does to your near reading before your exam day. Contacts versus glasses. Most pilots with contacts do fine, but here's a consideration worth raising. If you've been wearing contacts heavily in the days before your exam and your eyes are dry, glasses for the day of the exam might actually give you a cleaner result. Contacts sit on the tear film. They can disrupt it. On a day when you need optimal visual performance for a brief test, glasses eliminate that variable color vision is its own category. And this is where some pilots discover something they didn't know about themselves. The standard test most AMEs use is the Ishihara pseudo-isochromatic plates, the plates with the colored dots and the hidden numbers. If you've never seen them, look them up before your exam. Not to memorize the answers, but to understand the format. Knowing what you're looking at takes the anxiety out of the moment. If you fail the color vision plates, that is not necessarily the end of the road. The FAA allows for alternative tests. The Farnsworth lantern test, sometimes called the PhALANT, is one option. Signal light testing at an airport is another. The practical reality is that most people with mild color deficiency can demonstrate they're safe for the specific task of distinguishing aviation signal lights, even if they struggle with the plates. Talk to your AME before concluding that a failed plate test ends your flying. But here's the part of this conversation that often gets skipped. Preparation versus surprise. A lot of pilots arrive at their medical exam with no idea what their vision actually is on that day. They haven't had an eye exam in a couple of years. They've noticed they're squinting a little more than they used to. Maybe they've been flying at night and wondering why the runway lights look a little fuzzier than before. But they show up and hope for the best. That's the wrong approach. And it's avoidable. Seeing an optometrist before your FAA medical, particularly if you're over 40 or if your vision has changed noticeably, is one of the better investments you can make in a smooth exam. Not because the optometrist is testing you on FAA standards specifically, but because you'll know going in what you're working with. If your vision has degraded to the point where you need correction, you'll know before you're sitting in the AME's chair. If your prescription has changed, you'll have updated lenses. And if there's something worth paying attention to, a developing cataract, an early sign of glaucoma, changes in retinal health, you'll know that before it becomes a surprise during an aviation medical that has reporting implications. The aviation medical process is not adversarial. Aviation medical examiners are designated by the FAA to administer exams, but they are also physicians, and most of them are pilots themselves or work closely with the aviation community. They are not looking for reasons to deny you. They are looking to establish whether you meet the standard. Going in informed, prepared, and honest is the single best strategy for a clean outcome. That said, AOPA's medical team, specifically AOPA's Pilot Protection Services, exists for situations where the process becomes complicated. If you have a vision condition that requires a special issuance, meaning your vision doesn't meet the standard without certain accommodations or documentation, AOPA can help you navigate that process. Special issuance isn't automatic denial, it's a pathway. Pilots with monocular vision, for example, can and do hold medical certificates through the special issuance process. It takes more paperwork and more time, but it's not a dead end. There are also basic med considerations worth knowing. Basic med allows private pilots operating under certain limitations to use a state driver's license in place of an FAA medical, provided they had a valid third-class medical after July 23, 2015, and have completed a one-time online medical course and periodic physical with any state-licensed physician. The physician is not required to apply FAA standards. But here's the important nuance. If your vision has degraded to the point where you cannot safely operate an aircraft, Basic Med doesn't change your legal or moral obligation. Basic Med reduces the administrative burden of the medical process. It does not waive the safety standard. If you're on Basic Med and you know your vision has gotten worse, that's the conversation to have with your physician. Be honest, your medical professional can't help you if you're not giving them accurate information, and more importantly, the pilot in command responsibility for determining your own fitness to fly doesn't disappear because the paperwork threshold is lower. So let's bring this back to the practical level, because this whole conversation started with one simple change. Before you read the eye chart, blink, let your tear film reset. Don't squint, don't lean forward trying to concentrate harder. Blink, relax, and read what you can actually see. Get enough sleep the night before your exam. Eye fatigue is real, and your visual acuity at the end of a short night is not the same as your visual acuity after 8 hours of rest. This is documented. pilots know about fatigue and decision-making, but we sometimes forget that fatigue also affects the instrument we're using to make those decisions. Your eyes, stay hydrated. Dry eyes are not just uncomfortable, they impair optical function. Know your standard before you walk in. Third class, second class, first class. Know the numbers, know what to expect. Bring the right correction. If you wear glasses, bring them. If you're in contacts, consider whether your eyes are comfortable and clear on exam day. And if you have any doubt about where your vision stands, see an optometrist first. A routine eye exam is far less stressful than an AME visit with an unknown outcome. This is not complicated stuff, but it's the kind of thing that slides because most pilots don't think about their medical until it's 30 days out. Then they start Googling at 11 at night, wondering what they can do. And the answer is honestly not much at that point. The preparation window is weeks, not hours. The FAA sets vision standards because vision is fundamental to flight. Not every flying task, obviously. Instrument pilots spend plenty of time with heads down and eyes on the panel. But the ability to see traffic, read signs, assess weather, and navigate visually is core to what we do. The standards exist for good reason. Meeting them shouldn't require luck, it should require preparation. A couple of additional things worth mentioning. For pilots over 50, the near vision standard becomes increasingly significant. It's worth knowing that presbyopia is considered in the FAA standards through the allowance for corrective lenses, including reading glasses worn in the cockpit. Many pilots fly with bifocals or progressives. If your near vision has changed and you've been holding off on getting readers because you feel like it's a concession, let that go. Pilots who can read their charts, their checklists, and their panels are better pilots than ones who are squinting and guessing. Also, if you're flying with a condition that involves your eyes beyond simple refractive error, things like diabetes affecting the retina, glaucoma, certain medications, and anything that affects intraocular pressure or visual field, those are conversations for your AME and potentially for AOPA's medical resources. Special issuance processes exist for many conditions. The FAA is not as inflexible as the reputation sometimes suggests, but you have to engage the process, not avoid it. Thanks to AOPA for the reporting on this one. The full article on passing the vision portion of your medical is at AOPA.org. And if you're looking for help navigating the medical certification process, AOPA's Pilot Protection Services is the resource worth knowing about. More at RadioHanger.com.
Stay sharp out there, both eyes open.